Turning the scriptures to Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5, we'll be reading verses 1 through 33. Ephesians 5, verses 1 through 33. Beloved, hear now the word of the Lord. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness or silly talk, or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife, even as himself. And the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. And that is the word of the Lord. So how do we walk worthy of the calling with which you have been called? Chapter 4, verse 1. Showing this, and now we ask the question again, and we were given more of an answer in chapter 5. And here Paul is showing us how to walk worthy of our calling by giving us this continued section from chapter 4, continuing to expound upon the Ten Commandments. And so we're to be imitators of God, and so how do we walk? Well, he says that we are to do so in love, following after the example of Jesus, who laid down his life for us who believe. We are to walk with that type of love. The same love we heard of in 1 John. The same love we see here in the end of chapter 5. For Christ's love for the church, he laid down his life. Then Paul addresses through verse 20 many different sorts of uncleanness, going through the Ten Commandments, but he's labeling different types of uncleanness among them. He shows what is not to be done, but also what is to be done. And so verse 4, your mouths must not be unclean, filthy. You're not supposed to have the coarse jesting, silly talk. But rather, you are to give thanks with your mouth. What are you to do with your mouth? You're to give thanks. The last chapter, verse 29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. So what do you do with your mouth? You speak edifying words, that it would build up the body. To God, you give thanks to Him. You give thanks before others concerning God and what God has done for you. Give thanks for all that you have, so that you would not even be covetous or an idolater. So if you want to put to death idolatry or even covetousness, give thanks often to God for what He's done and what He's given you. You're also not to be deceived by empty words. You were formerly darkness, but now it says you are light in the Lord. So walk as children of light, and you will produce goodness and righteousness and truth. Don't participate in deeds of darkness. Rather, you're to expose them. And so by exposing them as light, you'll be less and less apt and tempted to follow into those deeds of darkness. And you're to expose them because they are disgraceful even to speak of them. So we'll expose them by walking in the light like Christ, and all darkness will be exposed. But then you are to be careful to walk as one who is wise according to the Lord. That is, according to His Word. You're also not to become drunk, but rather, we might say, drunk with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. By speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Similar language used in Colossians we'll see in a few weeks. We're to be filled with the Spirit by singing to one another the Word of God. And that's what he's saying here. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And so our singing to one another, speaking to one another the Word, we're leading each other in the light, walking wisely before one another. And by doing so, singing the Word, we are to give thanks to God for all things in the name of Jesus. Then Paul begins the section on submission to one another. That's the fifth commandment he's talking about. And so he says, verse 20, T1, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Many people misunderstand that verse. But then he goes on, and he goes through different relationships and where one submits to another. So the first is wives are called to submit to their husbands. Other relationships you'll hear about next Lord's Day in chapter 6, Lord willing. And here, though, wives are to submit to their husbands as unto the Lord. That's an important phrase at the end of what wives are to do. You'll see it in chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Slaves, verse 5, that is, workers, be obedient to those who are masters according to the flesh. And then it goes on, it says, as to Christ, as you would to Christ, as you do to the Lord. And submit unto Him, so you are to do to your husband, to your parents, to your master or boss. So wives here are to be submissive, subject to their husbands. What about husbands? We ask. They are to submit to who? To their authority, to Christ. Just as parents are to submit to Christ, and bosses or masters are to submit to Christ. Husbands with a higher calling, to love your wives as Christ loves the church and laid down His life for the church. sanctifying your wives with the truth and the word. And this relationship of husband and wife is to do this great thing of imaging Christ in the church. And so here we actually see an interpretation, using Scripture to interpret Scripture, what Song of Songs is about, what Song of Solomon is about. It shows over and over that relationship there, and it's right here. It is, verse 32, the mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. And he's doing the same thing there, and yet very applicable to wives and husbands today, obviously. Beloved, we're called here to walk as imitators of God in love. And so we are to let us then be pursuing this with great zeal, walking worthy of the calling, following His commandments in the Lord. And so we will be light before those in darkness, exposing darkness. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word and how each Lord's Day we are able to come and hear You speak to us. We thank You that You don't leave us in the dark about how we ought to live life, but You clearly put it before us and Your commandments, the Ten Commandments in here and in the letters that we find in the New Testament, even the writings of the Old Testament. Father, we ask that You would show us clearly through Your Word how we ought to live in accordance with what we are to believe. Cause us to walk worthy of the calling with which we have been called, that we would be imitators of God in Christ Jesus, that we would expose darkness and sin for what it truly is, and that we would not back down from that, or even with the great temptation of our day, become tolerant of it or complacent concerning it, that because it's all over the place and people don't listen when we do or have exposed it in the past for what it truly is. And so we become numb to the evil that lies around us. Father, we ask that we would not be numb to it anymore, that we would be very aware of it, that we would see but not experience and dabble into, but see the evil that surrounds us, that we would turn from it unto You, continually praying and pleading with You that You would save us from this present evil age. And that's what we pray now, that You would deliver us from the struggle of this world at the right time. Father, we come confessing that the wives here and we as husbands have failed in what we are called to in this section of Scripture. But here we find wives who don't submit to or respect their husbands in everything, in accordance with Your Word, though not being led to sin. And Father, husbands have not loved their wives as Christ loved the church, even willing to give ourselves up for her. And we have failed in sanctifying them with the Word. We've failed to meet their needs for the sacrifice of our own. And Father, in these things we have failed. We have broken Your fifth commandment. And we've broken the ninth commandment and tenth commandment. We've coveted. Father, we ask that You would deliver us from such things, even by Your Spirit, working in us to give thanks for what You've given to us often. daily. That we would not be tempted, or certainly not fall into that sin of coveting any more of our neighbors and what they have. The things of this world would not appeal to us as much as previously. But that you and your word and your people, your church, would appeal to us. And we would love you above all other things. And so, Father, as we have confessed our sin, we know that you are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And we praise you that you are God, even as we have sinned against you, as your people. You will still never leave us nor forsake us. For there is nothing in all of creation that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Not even our own sin. And yet, Father, we come with sorrowful hearts over our sin, that you would turn us from it, and that we would not continue in it and so prove ourselves to be not your children at all. And yet, if there are any here who are not your children, we plead that you would send your Spirit, convict them of their sin and the guilt of their sin and their conscience, and turn them unto your Son Jesus Christ for salvation alone and that's found in Him. Father, we plead these things before you in the name of Jesus Christ, so hear us and answer according to your will. Amen.